At Ephesians chapter number 4. It's going to be more of a topical message this evening. And the title of tonight's message is Graciously Resolving Conflicts. Graciously Resolving Conflicts. And in our Sunday school series, we've been talking about specifically to married couples, and we talked about conflicts this morning. I knew we weren't going to get through the whole lesson. I did it on purpose because the Lord kind of laid upon my heart to talk about the final part, which was resolving conflicts and how to do it graciously, because I think it's applicable not only to married couples, but inside our families, also inside church families, and inside other relationships. One of the greatest gifts God gives us is relationships and how we can deal with those relationships. And if you are married or thinking about getting married sometime soon and you're not in our Sunday school class, I encourage you to watch some of those things online, not just because of the fact we want all the likes and the extra feeds or whatever you call those things, but I think that the information is good. It's scriptural, and it's very apical. I think that it's, it talks about things that many times maybe doesn't, the principles come up during the sermons, but the applications that are made, it's very encouraging. And even if you're not married or plan on getting married anytime soon, I think they're encouraging things about relationships themselves and how we deal with one another. So graciously resolving conflicts. Let's go real quick some reasons why people have conflicts. It's because they're made different. We have different opinions. That's not going to change. Nowhere is everybody going to think exactly like you. Even when you're a pastor of the church, when you think you always get your way, it just doesn't happen. So, and I really truly believe, and we talked about this in leadership roles, we're servant leaders. And when we choose the way God wants us to, not a way that, at least this way it's supposed to be. Even as husbands, you choose the way that God wants you to, not just the way you want to. And many times the choice is never to choose for yourself because you're trying to be gracious. And so there's some different reasons why people have conflicts, whether in the home, a church family, other relationships. One of the reasons we talked about is being selfish. Got to have my way. It's my way or the highway. It's about me. And the interesting quote that was in there, selfishness is not a lack of love. There's love found in selfishness. It's just self-love. It's not the love that God expects us to give to one another. It's loving self so much that I'm going to cause this conflict. Pride, another thing that causes conflicts. I got to be right. Ain't no way that I'm going to be wrong. And no matter what happens, no matter who I hurt, no matter what this happens, it's prideful. I have to be right. Also, pettiness. Pettiness. The only person that doesn't need to listen to this morning's message is my wife, because we talked about marriage couples and relationships. We talk sometimes about things that happen in personal things. So no, I'm joking. My wife and I enjoy our relationship. And we talked this morning a little bit about things that I'm probably petty about and things that she may be petty about when little things, but they mean things to us. But is there certain things that we really want to make a big deal of when it comes to our conflicts? There are certain things that we just shouldn't make a huge deal out of. Fear. Fear is another reason. Conflicts happen because we're afraid of dealing with the issue and dealing with the problem. We want to withdraw. We don't want to have anything with it. So the conflict stays. We build walls up, and there's a fear there of doing things scriptural way. Satanic attacks, definitely the devil does not like our homes, our Christian homes. Remember, we're the bride of Christ. As the bride of Christ, he wants to destroy that. He wants to attack it. These are some things that cause conflict. When people want to be selfish, want to care about themselves more than anybody else, prideful, and not willing to listen to someone else's viewpoint. Doesn't mean their viewpoint's right, but it's something, the opportunity to listen to them, understand the reason why they're doing it. Pettiness, fear, satanic attacks, all those different things, and things that accelerate contentions. I made a mention this morning that there is conflict. There is going to be people that are, because of where they're from, because of their age, because of their upbringing, that there is conflicts, but they don't have to be contentious. You can have a difference in opinion, but it doesn't have to be something that becomes involving strife. Nothing should be done through strife. Nothing should be done through vainglory. So what happens when you have a conflict? What happens when you have a problem? What is it that you're supposed to do? And that's what tonight's message is, how to resolve the conflict and how to resolve it graciously. One of the things that accelerate the problems is when people fail to acknowledge the problem, when they say there is no problem. Instead, they hold things inside. They withdraw from the problem and say, hey, I don't want to deal with things. They spiritualize the problem. The devil's just attacking us, and they walk away. Yeah, the devil may be attacking, but you have to roll up your sleeves, understand what the conflict is, look at things scripturally, deal with it, and deal with things that are happening, and then also attacking the person instead of the problem. There's a problem. There's an underlying issue. It's a sin issue. It's a heart issue, and getting that to their desiring to win at all costs. I've seen some people, I got to be right, and they're willing to fight their way through, and this is it, and they're tearing people down all along the way. And inside our couples, it's really important in our marriages, but also inside church families. And I'm thankful for the relationships that God's given me. I'm thankful for my wife, thankful for my sons, thankful for my church family, my extended family. And there's a way to graciously resolve problems. God gives us words and actions and attitudes to build our families. And what else does he give us? I mean, I'm trying to be mean. We talk about, and we looked at it just for a second, we build our homes. You think about there's building blocks, there's Legos. God gives, sometimes we have different pieces to make materials. You know, sometimes people build their house with bricks. Sometimes people build it with wood. There's different materials God gives us. Well, God gives us in our relationships some certain things, our words, our actions, and our attitudes. What else does he really give us as building materials? And if we struggle with our words, and we struggle with our actions, and we struggle with our attitudes, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to build very much. And so we got to remember that these are the building materials God gives us. And so are we building relationships? Are we building our home? Are we building our church family? Are we building our marriage? Or are we pulling it apart with our words or actions, relationship? And sometimes people build walls. And we mentioned that. I'm not going to preach the whole entire message again this morning, but I wanted to catch up those that may not have been here today. So we come to this part. I really believe the way we show our most Christ-likeness is when we're willing to forgive. If you look at what it says here in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I love that verse because he says for Christ's sake. I know some people don't deserve our forgiveness. They don't. They've done wrong. They hurt us. But you know what? We didn't deserve God's grace. We didn't deserve God's mercy. We didn't deserve God's forgiveness. It's because of what Jesus Christ did, God forgives us for Christ's sake. And he's saying, you take that mind that's in Christ, you take that thought process, and you forgive because God asked you to. And to me, that just kind of helps understand how to graciously resolve the conflict. And perhaps no area of our lives reveals our walk with the Lord like our relational conflict. This is because during the moments of conflict, our raw responses reveal the true depth of our development in Christ-likeness. No more greater time than you see how somebody's acting, someone's attacking you, and how they respond to that. That shows your spiritual maturity. That shows how Christ-like you are. And I don't get it right all the time. I get it wrong a lot of times. But it reminds me, it's not the person, even though that they may be wrong, it's something that I need to work on also. Even if they're the greater sin and they're the attacker, how I respond shows what's really truly inside me. And a spiritual Christian will seem to take a large matter and make it smaller. A carnal Christian will take a small matter and make it larger. Does that mean we ignore the problems and issues? No, the Bible talks about dealing with sin. The Bible talks about dealing with issues and problems. You don't let somebody run rampant and do things, but how do you resolve the conflict? How do you address the issue? Although it takes many forms and many actions in the moment of conflict, I believe one of the things that God expects is that we respond to conflict with grace. I know it was about a month or two when I was reading through the story. They use a cool illustration, and I alluded to it a few months ago. They give the illustration of a gas can and a water can. And they're there, and they're saying, what are you going to do with the conflict? You know, pretend there's a little fire there, just even a little spark. If you have a gas can and there's a little fire and you dump the gasoline on it, what's it going to do? It's kind of, woo, it's going to get big. If you have a little fire and you dump the water on it, what's it going to do? It's going to go away. And so tonight we're going to look at conflict and look at these things and say, man, I'm carrying around a gas can, I'm carrying around a water can, and either I'm going to dump the gas on it and I'm going to make it big, or I'm going to dump the water on it and I'm going to squelch it, and I'm going to deal something with it. So we're going to start off here in Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to be going through a lot of different scriptures. If some of those that are in the class have those papers from this morning, a lot of these verses are on your last page. If you don't have it, sorry, you should come to class. Or if you had the book, it's in there. But I do want to look here at these verses. We've been looking at them for the last few weeks because it is just truth and it's so good. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So it talks about the anger. It talks about how not to sin. It talks about, hey, you shouldn't keep that anger, and you don't want to give place to the devil. And then in verse 28, "Let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That word "no" means none. And so this is a benchmark. If I'm saying something that is corrupt, I'm doing something wrong. So what is corrupt? We're going to talk about that in a second. "But that which is good to the use of edifying." He says the things that you're speaking, don't spend corrupt things, because if you try to build relationships with corrupt things, it's going to crumble. But he says, "But that which is use to the good to the use of edifying," which means building up, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And that's where we get the idea of graciously resolving conflicts. Our desire should be that we minister grace, God's unmerited favor, even though they don't deserve it, to the hearer. That's what we're trying to do with our speech. And then he says, verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." When we don't do these things, when we have corrupt communication, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And then verse 31, what's corrupt communication? Here's some of it. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, we've looked at those words before. We're not going to take time tonight because we have a lot of things we want to get through. But if you do a study of those words, and this is in your speech, this is in your thought life, this is in your heart, what does God say? Put it away from you. Get rid of it. There's a better way to deal with it. Is it easy to have these things? Yes. Are these things that I deal with sometimes? Sure. But these are things that the Bible says, take notice. This is a litmus test here. When I'm dealing with a conflict, when I'm dealing with an issue, whether it's with my husband, my wife, my child, my church family, or even a relative, because we know that sometimes relatives can be challenged. If I have to, in my side of things, become a person who clamors, a person that is evil speaking, a person who is bitter, a person who is wrath, I need to be careful first before I ever approach anybody else. Then it says in verse 32, that wonderful verse we love to talk about, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So tonight, let's think about this. Am I taking the gasoline can out and am I dumping gas on the fire? Or am I, my motives and my actions are things that even in a conflict, trying to show grace? And the good news is, God freely gives us his grace. God gives us not only the will to do it, God also gives us the ability to do it. So let's jump over now, just the next chat book over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Say, "Pastor, there's no way I can do that." And I agree with you. There's no way that you can do that. But God can do it through you. I've always been a person that had conflict. I've always been a person that's been angry. I've always been a person that dealt with things probably in a unscriptural clamor type way, evil speaking type way. It's just the way I am. That means you're fleshly. Congratulations. We all are. It just means that we haven't let the Holy Spirit take as much of us as he deserves. Graciously resolving conflict. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Look what it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." If we're trying to please God, it's because God has put something in your heart. And if God puts something in your heart, guess what he can do? He can also do it. That's the hope we talked about, the hope that is in you. He gives you a will. He gives you his desire. He puts something in your heart, and that way it responds by being able to give you to do it. And then look what it says, these next two verses kind of go along with what we're talking about. That's why we include it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Amen. And it says, then it goes on and says, that even includes resolving conflict. It means you can have a conversation and tell the problems and the issues and deal with the problem that's underlying without attacking the person, without murmuring. It can be done in a scriptural, biblical way. In verse 15, if we do those things, it says, the reason why is that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I really love that verse because it's saying that when we learn to do God's pleasure and we don't murmur, we don't complain, we're going to live a life that is blameless, a life that is harmless, meaning that someone cannot come back and say, well, you said this and you said that and start causing blame. And we're not harming someone by trying to deal with the conflict. Sometimes people walk into a situation, and because the way they handle themselves and the way they handle the opportunity, they actually cause more harm than good, even if they weren't the ones that were wrong to begin with. And because they're not being gracious, instead they're getting in the flesh. And that's why he's saying you can be harmless and you can be blameless, because as the sons of God, without rebuke. And then I love that next phrase, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I think we would all agree that we live right in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. And because of that, in the crooked, perverse nation, we are supposed to live this way inside of that. It's not saying just inside the church house. It should be easy. We love one another, remembers one of another. We're church family. We all believe the same God. He says, in the midst, when you go out those doors is when you're supposed to be harmless, is when you're supposed to be blameless. When you go out those doors dealing with unsaved people that treat you bad and wrongly, that you'll be always ready to give that answer we talked about the hope that is in you. We'll deal with those things and we'll push those things out in the world. Well, we must learn to deal with it in here before we can ever deal with it out there. And then it says that you might shine. You shine as lights in the world. You are going to shine bright if you can learn how to graciously resolve conflicts. Don't get me wrong. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Jesus is the one that turned the tables over. Jesus is the one that took that and did this and did that. And sometimes with conflicts, there is correction that needs to be done. And sometimes there is action that needs to happen. But there's many times and oftentimes that when we deal with people, there are so many gracious things that are given to us in the scripture. And so tonight we're going to look at graciously resolving conflicts. First thing, it is gracious to listen to others rather than withdrawing or shooting back with cutting words. That's a long phrase. You don't have to write it down, but it's gracious to listen is the way you can put it. What's some of the responses? I'm going to listen to you. Well, technically, I'm not going to really listen to you. I'm going to hear you speaking, but I'm not going to listen to your words. All I'm doing is I'm waiting for you to be quiet so I can say what you really need to hear. That's what happens in conflicts. You're wrong. I know you're wrong. Go ahead, say your stuff because I'm supposed to listen to you. But when you're done speaking, I'm going to let you have it. That's not how to resolve a conflict. And look what the Bible says. Go ahead and take your Bible to James chapter 1. If you want to follow along, you can. Make sure I read it right. Make sure I'm using the right version of the Bible. You know, all those things. Or you can just listen. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it's found there. The Bible says it. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, what's that next word? Swift to hear. That means quick to hear. Slow to. Man, we switch that around, don't we, a lot? Slow to wrath. So it says it right there, and it's not me just telling you, hey, you got to ignore everybody's problems. No, it's how to deal with the problem, how to deal with the conflict. And if we start at home first, boy, and I have so much I could learn to listen from this. He says, wherefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It doesn't mean like I'm getting all my points across. It's not about my rights. It's about what? It's about getting to the truth. Look at that next verse. Lots of times this one's left off, but I think the two connect. It says in James chapter 1, verse number 20, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How many times have we done things in wrath? How many times have we taken a conflict, a problem, and boy, we just want to bowl them over? And this, how can we deal with it graciously? For the wrath of man work, if not the righteousness of God. If you're back in there in that clamor, that evil speaking, that murmuring, all those different things, let those things be put aside. Let the bitterness get away. Let all those things be set aside. Now we can deal with the conflict. Now I can deal with the problem. And like I said, the series that we've been talking about in Sunday mornings is just honest and it's truthful because this hurts, because we don't like this. We like to think, well, yeah, I'm angry. Yeah, I can do this, I can do that, but I'm doing God's work. God was angry, and God did this. And God was perfect in his holy anger, and God did certain things, but he was so merciful and gracious and kind, and oftentimes he would show that and demonstrate that to you. Okay. Next thing, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to Romans. Romans chapter 15. Now, I know what some of you might say, well, in Romans chapter 15, they're talking about what to eat and what not to eat, what day of the week, stronger brethren, a weaker brethren. But grace is, I truly believe, is looking at someone who may be weaker than you and trying to help them instead of trying to push their buttons. Looking at someone who might not be as strong as you as a believer, or maybe they're just as strong, but they struggle in a certain area. And this is something that I think when it's talked about here in Romans chapter 15, verse number 1, look what it says. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I think what the scriptures are mainly speaking in there in the context is saying there are certain things out there that might cause another brother to struggle. And if they struggle with you doing that, don't do that in front of them. That you should make sure that you don't do certain things. If they are struggling, they're learning, and they're growing, and then they struggle with this certain issues, then stay away from that. But I think you can make application here on how to deal with someone else. If you are doing well in a certain topic, and you're doing well in a certain area, and you're strong, we should bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not to try to show them what to do so that way we can make ourselves feel better, but we're trying to help them and trying to help them learn and be scriptural with them. And when our relationships, when there's conflict out there, we must learn to deal with our mate's weaknesses. I got a long list of weaknesses. This morning, I told you my one weakness is I don't like turning that light switch off. And my wife sometimes tells me that, you know, about the light switch. And it's right, it's true. I should turn the light switch off. And sometimes I forget. And that's something we have to learn how to deal with. And that we have to learn to help each other in the weaknesses. It doesn't mean that I should never learn how to do something. No, it's something we grow and we help them along the way. But when you have a conflict, I'm not going to become bitter. I'm not going to become angry. I'm not going to have evil speaking in this. I'm not going to have clamor. I'm going to put away all those things with malice. And I'm going to direct and try to work with the issue because I know God has showed me and God has taught me. Now, I'm going to help this person because I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be kind. And I'm going to do it in a way that's going to be a pleasant experience for all those involved. I've been corrected more than once in my life. Growing up, all those years, all those different ways, and sometimes as hard-headedness, sometimes it had to be very blunt. Sometimes it had to be with force. Thankful for that parents that still believe in punishing their kids. I was thankful for that. But it was always done in a way to help try to encourage the other person. That's being gracious. Next thing is, gracious is being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God speaks to your heart about responding in the wrong way or your hurtful words or your actions, what should you do? You should apologize. Sometimes they don't deserve it. They were wrong. You know, when you've done something wrong, and God speaks to your heart, you should follow after. Look what it says in chapter, same book, chapter 14. Look what it says in verse 19. 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Those are the things I'm going to follow after. And things wherewith one may edify another, that they can build up another. There is a scriptural way to do this. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Let him lead you. Those things that follow peace, they're the ones that can actually help build those things up. Okay, let's take our Bible now to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. I know you guys are having to turn your pages of your Bible. It's okay. Proverbs is found right after Psalms, if you've forgotten. Proverbs 24. Grace is taking time to seek God's wisdom, sometimes even together. Grace is taking time to seek God's wisdom, sometimes even together. Rather than relying on your own understanding when you have a difference of opinion, if you are a brother or sister in God, we can stop and can say, there's a problem here, there's a conflict here, let's pray and ask God for help and wisdom. Look what it says in Proverbs 24, and look what it says in verse number 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And let's bring this to the couples, the marriage thing. If you guys have a disagreement, once again, being a man and being a lady, that people think differently. Being from different cultures or different backgrounds or different upraisings, different schooling, different things, people are going to definitely, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreements. It's how you deal with those things. And if you come to a spot where you're at a moment and you really want something one way and the other want something the other way, is there something wrong with stopping and praying and asking God, hey, God, can you show us and give us direction? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as a couple, isn't it? I know, husband's the head of the house, they get to make all the decisions, and they get pulled their way through. That's not the way the scriptures is written, and it's the idea, yeah, he makes a decision, but that decision many times is a choice to serve God by humbling and by being willing to, if it doesn't really matter, to be willing to give, because that's what we often do. And so it's stopping and saying, we know we disagree with maybe what we should do with our kids. Because sometimes there's different parenting skills. I know the way my parents raised me. And I know the way other people raise other ones. Even with my wife, she was raised. And we came together with raising her kids. And she always has been gracious and kind in letting me and my thinking when it comes to that. But if there's a difference in opinion, shouldn't we just stop and pray and say, God, we need your wisdom? Because the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give it to all men liberally, and upbraid if not. And so if there is one believer who loves God and another believer that loves God and they have a little bit of a conflict, yes, let's pray about it. Let's seek God's will. Let's seek God's voice. Why is that? Because it says here that wisdom is a house built it. You know, the house is being built. The relationship is going forward. Understanding is established. But if you take and you just pull away those bricks, the house isn't being built. It's being torn down. Another thing is, grace is being able to suggest something similar to the last one, is that we can pray together and work through a disagreement. We can pray together and work through a disagreement. Go ahead and take your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. It's kind of interesting in Matthew chapter 18 that there's a scripture that's talking about church discipline, and it talks about how they can come together, and there's that famous verse that most people will say in verse number 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And it talks about that, but that is something that is really during the time when it's talking about even being together. Look, we'll start in verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him. So if there's a conflict, there's a problem, they have done wrong to you, what are you supposed to do? Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So you go to him individually. It doesn't mean that you go around to all the different people and gossip about it and then finally approach them. No. You go to them individually. And if there's a problem, you go to them in the group. And if they won't hear the group and the issue is serious enough, it says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto them a heathen man or a publican. Now we come to verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that I shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And look at the next verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I in the midst. Now I know we use that as talking about, hey, that's we're having church, God's in the midst. But it's talking there about church discipline. It's talking about how to rectify things and how to get things together. And when you begin to be able to pray together and kneel together and resolve that conflict, God's there in the midst. God's going to answer your prayer. God's going to, if it's what Christ wants and what Christ's will is, if you can rectify this, guess what's going to happen? God's going to answer your prayer. And that's why it's important to deal with it graciously. Pray about things. That's something you should be able to do. How often when we have a conflict do we pray with one another? How often do we look at our husband and wife and say, we're having a struggle right now. Can we pray about this? We don't want that. We have our flesh out. We want what we want. We desire what we want. It's got to be my way. And if I start praying, then I'm going to realize I'm wrong. So no, I don't want to pray about it. Or you pray. Now, that's, so next one. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We only have a few more, so hang on. Grace is being courteous to those even when you feel insulted or hurt. Grace is being courteous. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We were here this morning, weren't we, in this passage. Great passage of Scripture. Thanksify the Lord God in your heart. But they're talking about relationships in verses 1 through 8. And then at the end of this, in this, it talks about wives being in subjection to your husband. And it's talking about husbands and their responsibility also in different areas. And in verse number 7. And in verse number 8, it says, finally, it gives all those instructions, mainly to the wives in this passage, mainly to the husbands in other passages. And then in verse number 8, he comes to a conclusion in this thought. Finally, be all of one mind, saying that you should be able to agree together, headed the same way, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. We should be courteous to one another. And we should be compassionate toward one another. Even when there's a conflict going on, we should always do that. You say, I don't think you're going to accomplish anything by doing it this way. Remember that hope that's in you? It means that if you do things God's way, that he can take it and work it together for good. It doesn't mean we ignore sin. Doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to it and just let anything happen that happens. But instead, we continually. You say, well, Pastor, how often do I got to forgive? How often do I have to? What does the Bible say? When they asked Jesus that, what did he say? 70 times 7? And we're going to get to that in a second. But this is, if we're willing to be compassionate and love one another and be pitiful and courteous, I think that's how to be gracious in the conflicts, is learn to resolve it by being gracious. Go ahead and take your Bible just a few pages over to chapter 5, verse number 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. I know what some of you are thinking. Hey, I'm older than you. You have to listen to me. I think what it's saying here is talking about those that are immature, be willing to submit to the elder. I think it's good to get godly counsel. I think it's good to listen. If you have a disagreement or there's an issue or a problem, go talk to somebody you want to be like spiritually. I'm not talking about talk to somebody who's going to say what you want to say and do what you want to do, because usually the person that goes and listens to the counsel, that gets the godly counsel, usually it's neither side's very happy. Both sides here, usually there's an issue on both sides, and the person that's given the counseling doesn't make this person happy, doesn't make this person happy, but they just say truth. And that's why I think there's nothing wrong if there's a conflict. If you want to deal with it graciously, hey, can we go to talk to somebody that we both agree and just kind of talk this out? And that's what I think is referring to. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. If we would learn to just be humble, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If there really truly is a conflict, if there really is a problem, we truly need God's help. We need God's help to work in that person's life. If we're so focused and so frustrated and so upset at our spouse, our kids, our church family, our parents, our in-laws, whoever it is, we really want them to work. We really want God to get them right. Somebody was texting me today, and they were talking about someone who comes to our church on a regular basis, hasn't been for a little while, dealing with some health issues, dealing with some family issues. And I talked to them, and I said, I'm praying for you guys. And they had mentioned a prayer request that says, thank you for your prayers, but please pray for this other couple. They really need God. And they were like, man, I really want this to work. And so many times we have that. We really want our husbands, or we really want our wives, or we really want our kids to be able to just get right with God and get started. And even with some in our church family, we really desire that so much. Then stop being prideful, because God's going to resist that. And give grace and be humble when dealing with those people. Because as the stronger brethren, dealing with those that may be weaker in a certain issue, we must learn to carry that. We must learn to help and work with them. I grew up riding the bus a little bit. My mom always went to church when she could. She worked a lot, younger brother, all those different issues. Dad didn't go to church that often. But boy, I am so glad for people that was patient with me. If you go back and you would talk to some of my kindergarten teacher that smacked me with a ruler on my hand because I did so many wrong things, she's like, oh, that's horrible. I needed to be smacked more than I got smacked because I didn't learn. I was stubborn. You know, all those different things. And you would go back and you would talk to some of them. You'd be like, man, God did something in his heart. As they were patient, they were kind with me. They were willing to be humbly working with me. And do I remember some that was ugly about it? I do. Did I learn much from them? Yeah, I learned how to react in the wrong way most times. But the people that were kind and the people that were patient and the people that prayed for me and God was able to work their hearts and lives, they made such a difference. So then we'll talk about grace. Being gracious in conflict means that we will ask for and we will give forgiveness. We'll try to keep the slate between our church family. Be amongst our spouses, amongst our family. We'll ask for and we'll seek forgiveness. And we'll give forgiveness. And that's the question. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive. That question Peter had asked, how many times should we forgive? 7 times in a day. And he thought he was being super Christian. Yes, that's a great number, Peter. We'll work with that. Let's write it down in the Bible for everybody to listen to. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, you need to take it a step farther. If it ever gets to the spot that you have bitterness, even at number 8 or number 158, if it ever gets to the spot that you have the bitterness, the clamor, the evil speaking, doing things in an ungodly way, doing things with, put that away from you. And deal with the conflict by being willing to forgive, and if you need to seek forgiveness, ask for it. I got a bad attitude towards you, and I'm sorry. Help me to realize that that can be something I can deal with. Last but not least, responding with grace is the result of humbling yourself before the Lord. Responding with grace is the result of humbling yourself before the Lord. This is opposite of our natural conflict. Our natural conflict is to pull out that gas can, and if somebody starts something, boy, if they want to start it, I'm going to finish it. If they're going to start messing with me, boy, I'm going to cause it to explode because they're not going to mess with me. And that is the flesh. It rises up in us, and it's the way that we try to protect ourselves or protect our family, and we try to feel that we've vindicated ourselves, but pride is the gasoline, humility is the water, because God works with the water. And it even says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I like that verse because it says, if it be possible. They're saying, do the best you can. Are there some people out there that are unreasonable? They are. There are some people that sometimes you have to learn that they're not going to get right, and there's conflict there, and there's something, as much as you put everything you can into them, as much as lieth in you, you try to live peacefully with them, and just the conflict never gets settled. Sometimes you have to walk away from certain relationships. You continue to pray, you continue to be there for them, but at the same time, if you're going to deal graciously with them, then you got to do your best to live peacefully with all men. And I never heard that illustration before about the gas can and the water can. And I even thought about bringing a gas can up here. And then I thought, well, man, that's going to smell. Maybe you guys wouldn't smell it, but I would smell it the whole entire time. Then I thought, well, maybe there's an empty one back there. I could go back and clean. Then I thought, well, I don't got time to do that. So if Christian or Andrew was here, I'd probably tell them, go get me one, or the water gallons or things like that. And it's just, oh, what are we going to pour on it? There's conflicts. There's issues in life. There's problems. Husbands and wives are going to have differences of opinions. Are we going to pour gas on it? Or are we going to pour water on it? We have a choice there. And it's as much as life in you, as much as life, live peacefully with all men. You cannot control your spouse. You might think you can, but you can't. You can't control the sources of your conflict, but you can control your responses. Choose to pour water on the conflict. Be gracious. Not ignoring, but be gracious when you deal with conflict. Because God resisteth the proud. If you really think a person needs help, Stop being prideful in your correction. Don't be arrogant. God resists that. Be humble. And think about some of those things we talked about tonight. Be willing to listen. Be willing to not just listen, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why is that? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can say, well, I'm just going to get angry. I'm going to tear some things up. If you're doing it through wrath, evil speaking, bitterness, all those things we talked about at the beginning, there's a problem. You're not accomplishing the work of God. You're accomplishing your work, and you're tearing people up as you go through. So tonight, graciously resolving conflicts. I pray this was encouragement and help to you. I know as I was reading it, God helped me in so many of my relationships and some of the things I was thinking about and thinking, boy, I need to be a better listener. I need to be more gracious here. I need more gracious there. I need to work on this. I need to work on that. I want God to work and I want God to move. I need to get rid of my pride. Yes, as a pastor, there's things I have to deal with. There's problems I have to deal with. There's issues I have to deal with. And sometimes it means that there's discipline that has to happen. And sometimes it means things have to change in certain areas in certain ways. But I need to make sure that I'm being gracious while doing it. And I would encourage whatever responsibilities God has given you, whatever opportunities given to you as a husband or as a wife, as a father or as a mother or as a son, as a daughter, as a church member, as a teacher, as a whatever privileges God's given you to serve him in. Be gracious. He says, I can't do that. Remember, he's able, he gives you that desire and he makes you able to do it too. That way you can shine his lights, not just in your house where it may be easy, it's not always easy, but out in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation that we live in, you can shine his lights. You can be blameless, you can be harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. How you do that? By being gracious. Well, how in the world do you be gracious? By letting him fill you instead of your flesh. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help me tonight. I pray you help those that listen, whether here physically or that are listening via live stream. God, this is something that we need to work on many times in our churches, many times in our relationship with our kids, and many times in relationship with our spouses. We have just allowed ruts to happen that become normal, and because they're normal, we begin to have thinking this is the way it's got to be. But God, there is a hope that liveth in us. There is a God that can change all things. There is a God that can work, and there's a God that can move, that can help us to be gracious as we interact with one another and how we talk to one another and how we are kind to one another, how we're tender-hearted to one another. And I know when our hearts and our flesh is saying, they don't deserve it, but for Christ's sake, we can forgive one another. We can work through this conflict. We can make a difference because there is a God that can change hearts. There is a God that can move mountains. There's a God that can put families back together and relationships back together. There's people who have been enemies before that, God, you can make them friends. God, there is wayward children that you can bring back to the right relationship with their parents. There's parents that have caused issues and problems in their kids' lives, Lord, that you can rectify those things. God, we need you to lead us and guide us. Help us to seek those ways of peace. Help us to understand, to bear the infirmities of those that may be weaker as we're trying to help and teach and be patient and kind. Help us, Lord, in so many areas to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, because we know the wrath of man does not work your righteousness. And that's what our desire should be. It's to work the righteousness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.